check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. Joined as always by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not too bad, not too bad. Can't complain. I guess you could say I'm just sitting over here smiling.
Wow. That's a unneeded transition, but it's there nonetheless. this episode, we are reviewing Smile 2. There you go. That's coming up later in the show, but we've got lots to talk about before we get to that. And let's dive in with Ike. What did you watch this week?
Well, I say I basically just watched a bunch of Halloween movies. I was on a little, as people who may know, if you were paying attention to our posts over the weekend and over last week, I was on vacation and had to review a trailer reaction in a parking garage, which was fun. it was a good time. Watch some horror movies while on vacation, because of course you gotta. The place that we were at had a YouTube TV, so we happened to catch the original Halloween on TV. So iconic.
Yeah.
Got to watch the 2003 remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which pretty solid remake. And then I also watched the Rob Zombie Halloween movie, the remake. Ooh. Which, I mean, honestly, I watched it and my initial opinion was like, oh, I haven't watched this in so long. Honestly, I think it could have been a good movie if it was not a Halloween movie. If it wasn't Michael Myers and everything else, I feel like it could have had potential. But I just feel like he did him dirty, you know?
I always feel like that's the movie that had a natural stopping point, and he just kept on going, though.
Yeah.
To me, that's one of the biggest Rob Zombie traps, is he goes a little past where he should on some of this. And, you know, I'm not saying it was the greatest movie. I'm not saying it was even that great per se. But if he had stopped at that one, there was a natural point to me. If he had just stopped there, it would have been at least a little more palatable.
Right. And I agree. I think, like you said, the Rob Zombie tends to be a little long-winded, if you will. As we can tell with his, what is it called? The Firefly trilogy or whatever. But other than that, I did watch Halloween 2, 4, 5, and 6. We already watched 3 this year. I also watched H2O. So I got on a Halloween kick. So I watched pretty much all of them minus Resurrection. And I did watch the, you know, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends earlier this month. So tomorrow I'm going to finish the full watch through, so I can say I watched all the Halloween movies this year.
Yeah, I am. I have also been in the Halloween rewatch. I have completed the Nightmares, completed the Friday the 13th, and am now in the Halloweens. And I have gotten through Resurrection, getting ready to do the new trilogy. And we'll be starting that soon. But then I also watched Daddy's Head on Shudder, which was pretty good, pretty creepy. Kind of liked it. I watched the newest episodes of Tales from the Void on Screenbox. I've been watching those. Those have been pretty good. I've been enjoying those. And then I did watch the movie we've talked about a couple times, Carved, which just came out on Hulu, which has DJ Qualls in it. It has lots of other people. DJ Qualls is not even necessarily the top billing, but he's still, to me, the most recognizable guy for me. But it was a fun movie, a little goofy, but it was still fun. Had some recognizable people in it. Had one of the kids off the Chucky TV series was in it. A couple other people. I'm not really familiar with their names per se, but I've seen them in other things. But it was a fun little watch. I can't complain about it. So, but that's it. I think I did No, that was it. I was gonna say I thought I watched that all, but I think that's it. So I think I'm just thinking of going to see Smile 2. So
Yep.
that's it. So all right. Well then let's move on to our first segment.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And this is our cheesy slasher of the week. This is where Ike and I present to you a cheesy slasher from the history of horror. A movie that is almost, I don't know, you can describe it in several different ways or whatever way. So bad it's good. You know, just a low budget, fun movie to watch. Sometimes low budget, not so fun to watch, but whatever it may be, this is not what we're calling any kind of big blockbuster type movie. But this week, we present to you the movie Dr. Giggles, which was released October 23rd, 1992. It was written by Manny Coto and Graham Whiffler, directed by Manny Coto, starring Larry Drake and Holly Marie Combs. The movie is described as a madman who believes he's a doctor comes to the town where his crazy father was killed and soon begins murdering people and becoming infatuated with a teenage girl who has a heart condition. Whew, that's a lot to digest right there. Some fun facts about the movie. There is a point of view shot through in the movie where it's through a mouth. And to shoot this, they did actually construct an oversized mouth prop and big enough for the camera to fit behind it. But to go along with it, to get the shot they wanted, they also created an oversized tongue depressor for actor Larry Drake to use. That's just classic to me. That's just, I want to see the oversized tongue depressor. That's just, that is hilarious to me. And to see him trying to use, I makes me chuckle. Makes me giggle. That's what. In Brazil, the film is titled The Death Specialist. That's kind of bland. That doesn't quite roll off the tongue like Dr. Giggles. Jennifer Aniston and Ashley Judd both auditioned for the role of Jennifer, but the part went to Holly Marie Combs. Ted Danson and Matt Frewer were considered for Dr. Giggles, but the role went to Larry Drake. And Mandy Cotto did come up with a treatment for a sequel where Dr. Giggles found a way to come back to life and reanimate the dead. So essentially a zombie movie, but the movie was never made. So Dr. Giggles is, to me, falls very firmly in that so bad it's kind of good. The movie is designed to have a little humor. I guess originally when they wrote it, it wasn't designed to have much humor. It was a much doctor treatment. I think originally it was supposed to be Mr. Giggles. So apparently when Mr. Giggles got his doctorate, it got kind of goofy and funny. I don't know why. I guess maybe it's a surplus income, whatever it may be. But it is a fun little movie, and I do recommend everybody watch it. I want to assume you've never seen Dr. Giggles.
You know, I can't say that I have, but I'd be willing to give it a watch sometime.
Yeah, you need to watch it sometime. I wouldn't put it real high on the list, but yeah, sometime when you're just, for no pun intended, shits and giggles, want to watch something, put this one on. So there you have it. That's our cheesy slasher of the week. So let's move on to the next segment. Talk to us, internet. And this is our segment that we call Talk to Us, Internet. This is where we pull either listener feedback or just a discussion point that has recently been hitting social media, and we talk about it. This is kind of almost like a news clip, and I don't know if it's a so much a social media news story, but it's something that's very intriguing to me and very almost funny in a way. But I will explain a little more, and we're going to return to probably our favorite subject of Terrifier. This is specifically Terrifier 3. There have been reports that teenagers and tweens were buying tickets on opening weekend of Terrifier 3 to go see The Wild Robot, but were then sneaking into Terrifier 3. To me, okay, on the first part, you know what? I don't condone people doing this, whatever it may be. I get it. I'm not saying I support any of this. They're not sneaking into the movie. They technically bought a ticket to something, though. So I understand they're trying to work around on the rating, whatever it is. But I have to chuckle that, you know what, even in this day and age, teenagers are still trying to find little sneaky ways to do some of these things and to see the movies they want to see and whatever else. I guess that just makes my heart kind of good, feel good that, you know what, even in this modern times, they're still sneaking around to sneak into the gory slasher movie. And it's pretty funny to me that it's like online they're all saying, oh, you know, the Wild Robot saw a little bump in ticket sales. But they speculate that is because the teenagers were buying them and then sneaking into Terrifier 3. So hilarious to me. I sent this to you when we first read it. What was your reaction when you saw this?
So I have two reactions. My initial reaction was just a laugh because, when I was younger, I was very lucky because when I became a teenager, my parents were very cool with like us watching rated R movies. Obviously, they didn't let us watch anything like super crazy, but like I knew that I was lucky because I got to watch the Paranormal Activity movies. I got to watch the Resident Evil movies, and I got to watch those, as a teenager, so I never had to sneak into movies. But so that part of me laughs because it's like, yeah, I understand. Some kids just want to watch these movies. They're going to find a way to watch them no matter what. Internet is a free place. They could be just pirating the movies. You know what I mean? So I'm just happy that, they actually went to a movie theater, bought a ticket to something, and, even though they snuck out and went to that, it is what it is. I think it's funny. Now that's that part of me. The other part of me, the part of me that used to work in a movie theater, screams a little bit because, like, on one hand, it's like, we have like this sort of duty as, movie theater employees. When I used to work there, we had to kind of keep an eye out for these things. For instance, I worked at the movie theater when the first 50 Shades of Grey movie came out, and the just pure number of people trying to sneak into that movie who should not have been watching that movie was just enormous. So like having to check people's tickets, and then in certain cases, then also having to check their IDs was a very tedious task, and it oftentimes resulted in a very angry patrons who were angry at me for asking them these questions. But the only reason that I had to do that was because people had to try and sneak into these movies. And, there were a handful of times where I had to ask people to leave movies. And yeah. So that part of me is like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is going to be the worst thing ever. But the other side of me is like, well, I don't have to work in the movie theater anymore. So, oh, well, fuck
There you go.
it.
That's what we need because, yeah, you don't have to deal with it. So, and I don't
Exactly. It's
know.
not my problem.
Yeah, I don't know that they're. I don't know if any theaters were like checking IDs to verify. And I mean, I'm assuming if they were doing that, this wouldn't have worked. But it. The thing is, it is what it is. It's this
Right.
is as old as movie going itself. It's just, people, kids are going to always try to sneak in and see something they shouldn't see. The thing to me is, in this day and age, like you mentioned, it's so much easier for them to see stuff like that online. Hey, like you said, at least they're going out and doing it the old school way. And so I'm not going to complain too much. Do I I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's the proper thing. And again, I'm sure this is not, we're not talking like 10-year-olds here, I don't
No.
think. So these are probably kids who are, whatever high school age, you know what, they can handle it. And it is what it is. I just have to say, I have to marvel at any Terrifier love out there, even if it is as wacky as this. So
I
there you go. And enjoy the extra dollars, Wild Robot. So
for real, I will add one more thing. I the one caveat to me being cool with this is that as long as the kids are not obnoxious during the movie, then I'm cool with it. You know what I mean? I'm that grouchy
yeah.
old man that if you start being obnoxious, I'm gonna be like, should you even be here? Do I need to go get somebody? Like I'll start being a Karen.
I mean, you would think that they're sneaking in, they would try to keep a low profile, but I know it doesn't always work that way. But
No,
you would think they
they're not
would.
always the brightest bunch.
No, probably not. But whatever. So, all right, then let's move on to the next segment.
Generation Gap.
And this episode, we're doing Generation Gap. This is where Ike and I present a movie to each other. It is either a movie that our drawing line is 1995. So with me, it's any movie pre 1995, and would like it's any movie 1995 or later. So far, it's been all me presenting the movies, and that's going to be the case today. But at some point in time, we may flip the script and put me on the spot. This is where one of us presents a movie to the other, and the other one counters with a movie from their time period that they feel is either kind of a counterpart or a similar in flavor to the movie presented. So, like I said, today it is me presenting the movie, and I am presenting to the movie John Carpenter's The Fog from 1980. Ike, do you have a 1995 or later movie that you feel is a proper counterpart to The Fog?
I think I do.
All right, let's hear it.
Well, first of all, I actually do have a couple of good ones. So the next time you do a generation gap, let me know. And I have a couple of pretty good movies, I think, that we could do the reverse of this. So,
all right. Well, next time we'll flip the script then and put me on the spot.
Hit me up. I'll put you on the spot.
All right.
But so for this time with The Fog, right? I've seen The Fog. It's great, of course. Even the remake's pretty decent. I think there's a TV show too, or maybe that's The Mist. I'm not sure. In any case, they're pretty similar.
Okay.
I kid. But The Fog, you know, it's a supernatural movie, right? The Fog is a supernatural entity. When the fog comes, it brings peril, you know what I mean? And The Fog is obviously not only a figurative element, it is a very realistic element to the movie. So with that in mind, I thought, what movie after 1995 kind of has a similar vibe? And I picked Silent Hill from 2006. When you enter into the world of Silent Hill, the first thing that you notice is the fog. Silent Hill is shrouded in fog. And when you enter into that fog and that mist, if you will, there are creatures there that you don't want to fuck with. Silent Hill, of course, is based off of the hit video game from the 90s. And, you know, it has very similar elements. Obviously, there's no pirates in Silent Hill that I know of. you know, there's a fog. There are supernatural elements to this. There are deeper messages of some sort in this. And I feel like it's a very interesting comparison, it being a supernatural movie that involves, you know, a place that is impacted by fog or some other element. So that is my choice.
Yeah, okay. I can't say that I'm real familiar with all the Silent Hill movies, but I am familiar with the concept. So, I think that's a pretty good counterpart. I think it works. So, you know, especially when you have the underlying fog element to it. So,
right.
So, it, yeah. All right. Well, then you have The Fog and Silent Hill as comparisons. So.
There you go. That is our generation gap for today. So go out, watch both movies, because they're both acceptable views and fun views. So that's it. You know, you could say The Fog was sent to you by Dave, and Silent Hill was sent to you by Ike, and just see what you think. So, all right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, etc. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So, starting us off strong, to fuel rumors and to send the internet ablaze, Matthew Lillard appeared on Drew Barrymore's talk show and said, "Stu is definitely alive." So, obviously, for people who don't know, Drew Barrymore is the first kill of the very first Scream movie. In fact, she was originally slated to be the main protagonist of Scream, but decided to give it to someone who maybe needed a little more than she did. So it's very cool to see her and Matthew Lillard sitting down and having a little chit chat. But the fact that Matthew Lillard's coming out here saying that Stu's definitely alive just completely, in my opinion, further cements the fact that this next Scream movie will have Matthew Lillard reprising his role in some sort of final showdown. So very excited for that.
Yeah, me too. And I hope, I don't know. I hope there's something to it. I don't know if it is or if it's just him, being hopeful. I don't know if he's definitively heard something and kind of let us, I who knows, but I hold true. I've always held true that Stu's still alive. As we know, we've had a couple of new Scream movies since we started doing the podcast, and each one I make the prediction that Stu's coming back. And so far I've been for two, but I'm feeling strong about this third one. That I think it is time. If we're going back and making this more Sydney oriented, it's time to bring back Stu. This is perfect. The perfect time. So let's do it. So I'm hoping that, you know what? My thoughts are with you, Matthew. I'm hoping that we will get you in the next screen.
You know they say, third time is in fact the charm. So, moving on to Mike Flanagan is making more movies. He is turning Stephen King's Carrie into an 8-episode series for Amazon. Of course, you might know Mike Flanagan for his slew of Netflix originals, including The Fall of the House of Usher, Haunting of Hill House, Haunting of Bly Manor, and what's the other one? Black Mass, Black Mass. But yeah, I mean, he's done a lot of great stuff, what can I say? Mike Flanagan's a very talented creator, and I think that if you're going to choose anyone to adapt Stephen King of any kind into a film, a series of episodes, I should say, I think you have a pretty good bet with Mike Flanagan. He's got a pretty good batting average, if you will, when it comes to popular horror series.
And I believe he's also got a hand in the upcoming Exorcist kind of revamping.
He
I
does.
think,
Yep, I remember
he
that.
got, yeah. And, but this Carrie thing kind of seemed off out of nowhere. All of a sudden, there's this bam, this announcement of this is happening. I mean, Carrie's been already been remade before, but, I'm
A
curious to
bunch.
see it. Yeah, I'm curious to see it made as a series because, you could dive a little further into the book, and a little more of the details in it. So, I'm curious. I'll watch it. I love Stephen King. I like Mike Flanagan. I'm kind of a fan of, we spoke of it quite a bit. I'm kind of a fan of horror, dipping their toes into the series format and seeing what happens with that. So, I think this is going to click. I think it's going to work. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something we have talked about a lot, horror taking the next step into the whole long series format. And yeah, like you said, there's a book. I'm sure there's lots that he could adapt to. So we'll keep an eye out for it, and we will 100% review that. We are huge fans of Stephen King in the Listen to Their Screams households. So moving on to Shudder has announced VHS 8 coming in night. I'm sorry, 2025. About said 1925. It's a little early, isn't it? Yeah, obviously VHS. We kind of anticipated this. Dave and I talked about this a little bit when VHS Beyond was coming up. VHS has kind of been on a roll where every year it seems like they've kind of had the plan and the track to release a new movie. And obviously, we're more than stoked about this. VHS is easily one of the best anthology series, the most expansive of any anthology series we've ever seen. And I feel like they're going to continue to do really good stuff. I think VHS Beyond is probably the best one yet, and I think VHS 8 will continue that trend of just blowing it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we've said each one seems to get better. No surprise they're going to do another. But I'm glad to have an official word and that we're not going to have to wait too long. But this tracks with what they've been doing. I'm super excited. There was a comment on our social media from your buddy Dane, who said that until our watch list, he hadn't really watched a lot of the year based VHS movies. He hadn't gotten, hadn't dove that deep into the franchise. And that with our watch along, our Spooktober list, he watched those and really liked them. And so he's hooked. So it's exciting. I think VHS just it's it just each movie the audience seems to grow and they keep drawing in more fans. It keeps getting better and better. And given the format, there's just no, I mean, there's no reason that they truly ever have to stop. They could just keep making VHS movies and doing different topics and formats and this and that and having new creators involved and always keeping it fresh. I mean, they could, as long as people are watching, you know, and I mean, and this is what Shudder needs, content like this. So it's, and it's something they can do, you know, original. So there's no reason to think that this is going to stop.
No, not at all. I think VHS has a very long life. It's already vastly surpassed what I think a lot of people expected the original films to do. There was kind of like a trilogy of movies made, and then there was a little bit of a lull, and then they started pumping them out on Shudder. And I think Shudder has really nailed down the formula, and like you said, they're so expansive and everything else. I love VHS. I think that VHS could be studied for how well it made a comeback, truly. But anywho, coming in 2025, keep an eye out for that. And yeah, love it. Watch them. I watch them every year. Even if we didn't have them on the list, I watch these every year for sure. But anywho, filming is underway on The Conjuring: Last Rites, which is planned to be the franchise's final movie with scheduled release date of September 5th, 2025, just in time for my 30th birthday. Well, just prior. So I'll definitely be watching this. And to clarify, this is just going to be the last film that has the Warren characters in it, Elizabeth and Lorraine Warren. It is mostly rumored and speculated that there will be other movies in the universe, maybe about different artifacts. But in terms of mainline Conjuring films, this is going to be the last. Which I mean, I think it is probably time. I think that they have a lot of material they could work with, but I think that the concept of the Conjuring, Ed and Lorraine Warren's characters are getting old. Not the actors themselves. Patrick Wilson is forever a beautiful man who does not age. And Vera Farmiga is all right too. I'm just kidding. Patrick Wilson has the voice of an angel. But anywho, sorry, I had to, gush over Patrick Wilson for a minute. But I think this will be good. I think this is a step in the right direction for Conjuring, and I think we'll still get more movies. It's just not going to have those two in them.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be more. I mean, I think there's been talks of some series and different things or whatever, but yeah, you know, there you gotta know when to get out before you overstay with one line. And they've started such a universe that they can keep the property itself ongoing without, you know, doing this storyline. I don't know that I would praise too much that immediately prior to my 30th birthday, there's a movie coming out that has the phrase "last rites" in it.
True.
But you know, so be it. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I love the Conjuring movies. I the one side of me hates to see this be the last. The other side of me totally gets it and doesn't want to see them just continue on till they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, trying to find an ideal and having to rehash. You know, it's I think it's time. Let's wrap this. Let's focus on other branches of the universe and some fresh ideals and you know, and it's good. It's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I think that does it for news. Let's move on to some birthdays. October 24, 1957, John Cassier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. Obviously an iconic voice and an iconic role. I would assume that he continues to no, that's a different series. I was thinking about the other one, not the Crypt Keeper, but Creepshow. I
Yeah,
get those
Creepshow.
two mixed up so often. But yeah, I mean, he's had an iconic voice, and I always wonder if they'll do more with Tales from the Crypt. I feel like they haven't really touched that in a while.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I mean, again, it's an anthology type show. You know, each episode is a different. They can do what they want with it. I mean, I don't know, and I don't know where the rights to that lie because I know HBO had the rights back in the day. I don't know if they still have that. So who knows? But, hopefully, you know, I would love to see him do something different. And if they do, I think, you know, they need to make sure he comes back as the voice of the Crypt Keeper. He could still do it, still has the voice. You know, it just he's got to be the voice, just the way it is.
Absolutely true. All right. Well, moving on to October 25th, 1993, Mia Goth, known for her roles, of course, in the X films, as well as many, many other things. Of course, she's done quite a bit. Infinity Pool's another good one. Obviously, I love Mia Goth. She does great. Maxine was, an okay movie, but I really like Pearl and X a lot. And I think she's actually has another movie coming out in the near-ish future, maybe the next year or so. I can't remember what it is, but I do remember seeing her in a trailer of some sort recently.
Yeah, I don't remember what it is, but yeah, I'm sure she's never gonna have to look for work. She's gonna it's you
No.
know she'll have plenty to do or whatever. But yeah, the X series of movies was good. I love X the best of it, but they're all pretty solid films to watch. And but she's really, really great in them. They wouldn't be what they are without her in them. They would lose a big step. So I'm always excited to see anything she does.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, she's very much a personality for those movies. That's absolutely true. But moving on to October 28th, 1974, Michael Dougherty, the creator of Trick or Treat. Of course, Trick or Treat is probably one of the, if not the most iconic, I would say, anthology type films. I know that there were some that came before it, but I feel like Trick or Treat just had a little bit of that, what do they call, lightning in the bottle. It just was so good, and it turned into a critical, I would say, cult following, because it never had an actual theatrical release, which is crazy to me
Yeah.
that this film never actually had a film release in a theater. And I think that they're working on a Trick or Treat 2. I think that once that rolls around and we eventually get that final product, I think we'll see Trick or Treat pop in theaters, maybe for a limited run. It would be cool to see it for sure.
Yeah. And we reviewed Trick or Treat in the archives. I think our first year around Halloween. But it's Yeah, it's one of those movies that when we reviewed it, we said, it's the wonderful thing about it is how it has these individual stories, but how everything intertwines so well. The
Yeah.
individual stories, the wraparound story, it just all fits together. And that's, to me, it's kind of unique from a lot of these anthology type movies, because a lot of them, they don't do that, right? They don't fit together this well to tell. Like where you have these independent stories, but yeah, then everything fits together to tell kind of an overall story, and it's pretty cool. And of course, they have created a super iconic character with Sam. So, it's great. I love the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Sam is iconic. I mean, he's merchandised out the ass. I mean, he's in Call of Duty too. So, I mean,
Yeah.
he's obviously got some notoriety, right? But very good. Moving on to October 28th, 1902, we have Elsa Lanchester, the Bride of Frankenstein, or known for the Bride of Frankenstein, I should say. Did she play the Bride of Frankenstein?
She is the bride, yep.
She is, in fact, the Bride of Frankenstein. So I have not seen this movie, but I know that this is one of Dave's faves. I know he loves the Frankenstein movies, including the offshoots of Frankenstein.
Yeah, but even people that haven't seen it can picture the bride.
Of
Everybody
course.
knows the bride because it's merchandise, and it's wild because she's only in that film just a short bit.
Oh,
She's
yeah.
not even like through the whole film. She's just revealed towards the end and everything else. So such an iconic role, such an iconic look, such a iconic performance for just literally being on screen for, I mean, a fraction of the movie. It's just remarkable.
Truly is. I mean, it's one of those things, characters sometimes they just stick with you, you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter how quickly or how, much that you see them, they're just like boom. You get stuck with them. And the Bride of Frankenstein is one of them. But moving on to our last birthday, October 29th, 1971, Winona Ryder, known for her role, of course, in Beetlejuice, as well as Stranger Things and many, many, many other things. She has a very large filmography. Winona Ryder is a fantastic actress. She has done quite a bit and continues to do work. And she was good in the second Beetlejuice film. And hopefully we'll see some more of her in the new season of Stranger Things whenever we get that.
Yeah, I love Winona Ryder. She's always been a favorite. She's been in so much. I mean, and we just mentioned a few of the horror related film. There's just so many things she's done, especially back in the day. So yeah, she's classic. She's a complete national treasure, and I'm a fan of anything she's in.
Absolutely. Moving on now to upcoming movie anniversaries. October 24th, 1986, Trick or Treat, not to be mistaken for Trick-er-Treat. We actually talked about this at some point. I believe this was on one of our cheesy slashers, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. This is the movie with Gene Simmons, Ozzy Osbourne, and everything else with that kind of the heavy metal
Yeah.
guy dies and whatever. Yeah, this was a cheesy slasher one week. Fun movie to watch. And yeah, it's I recommend anybody see it. It's just fun.
Very good. I don't. I can't say that I have personally seen this, but
It's
definitely
hard to.
something to check.
It's hard to see because I don't think it's on anything streaming. It's very hard to see. So those of you that have a physical media, physical copy of it, you're there. But one of the reasons that don't let go of those physical copies because you never know. But it's
True.
I don't believe it's on any streaming service.
Well, there you go. Well, if you can find it, good luck.
Yeah.
But all right, moving on to October 24th, 1986 as well, From Beyond. Now, I have never seen this movie, but I do know about this movie because I know it's an H.P. Lovecraft story, and I know that it has Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton, who are also in Reanimator, right?
Correct.
It's one of those instances where it's like, if I had a nickel for every time Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton were in a H.P. Lovecraft story, I'd have two nickels, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice. But it also has Ken Foree in it, who was in the original Dawn of the Dead movie, which I really like him too.
It's a fun movie. And yeah, I mean, I watch anything with Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton individually, but put them together, and especially if they're doing a Lovecraft, oh yeah, I'm there.
He said, "I'm there. Count me in."
That's right. All about
Awesome.
it.
Well, I'll have to check this out because I liked Reanimator. So if it's anything close to that ballpark, then I'll probably like this too.
I wouldn't put it on Reanimator level because I love Reanimator. But it's still a fun movie to watch.
Fair enough. All right. Now we're moving on to October 25th, 1978, the night he came home. Halloween, the OG. Oh man, everyone's entitled to one good scare. I love Halloween. I recently rewatched it while on vacation, and I still to this day think that Halloween it 100%, at least in my opinion, it holds up. Obviously, it is dated to some degree because this is what 1978 was 40 some years ago, more than that probably 50 years ago. Almost 50 years ago,
It's
damn.
46, yeah. Because
Man.
last year was the 45th anniversary, I remember that. But yeah, I
Crazy.
mean, anybody that always asks me what my favorite horror movie is, I always say this. And yeah, I have probably movies that are more comfort films that I go to a little more, that are goofy or whatever. But I mean, this to me is just the absolute perfect horror movie. It's a perfect movie. It builds the tension so well. The story is just so well crafted. The music is perfect. The settings, the camera work. I mean, it's just everything worked. And I mean, and you think about it, you have this guy, this serial killer that's killing people with knives and stuff. There's not a whole lot of blood or gore in it, but it doesn't make it any less scary. And it's just, It's just, to me, it's just a perfect movie. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that really helps this movie specifically continue to hold up the way it does, honestly, I think it's just sort of like the mysteriousness of the shape. You know what I mean? That's always
Yeah.
something I've always really admired about this movie, as well as a lot of the movies, is that, you kind of get to a point where it's not really Michael Myers anymore. It's the shape. And I love it. But
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job. They didn't overexpose him in the film, and the part of the terror is the not knowing what's there, right? It's not what you see; it's what you perceive is there, just out of eyesight, right? That what's hiding in the shadows, And they tried to utilize that other little later with him stepping out of the shadows a lot and whatever else, but it is so perfect in this first movie the way it works. And I mean, so many horror tropes were created in this film that were just reused over and over and over again and still work to this day.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like if you talk about what is the most important like slasher movie of all time, some people might say Psycho. I could write a doctorate level dissertation on why I disagree, because I think Halloween is easily the most important and most, I would say, necessary slasher film of the genre, just because of the tropes that this film I feel like really pioneered or perfected. Don't get me wrong, Psycho is great. But the baby, this is like the original babysitter slasher, you know what I mean? And like, I feel like that has influenced so many films subsequent to it, Friday the
Yeah.
13th, everything else. And like I said, I could write a dissertation on this. Maybe I will one day, who knows?
It just hit, it just hit at the right time, right? I mean, it just right on the cusp of the 80s when, things, I don't know, there's just all the elements were right for this to drop, and then just, I mean, it literally revitalized the genre. And starting with this, I mean, I really hold true to that. The explosion in the 80s can all be traced back to this film. Had there not been a Halloween, I don't know. I'm not saying maybe something else wouldn't have spawned. Who knows? But it wouldn't have been the same because so many movies just came from this. I mean, the silent, faceless, spooky killer. I mean, this is the concept it came from. And in the 80s, even if no matter what setting they threw it in, no matter what they made the killer look like or the background on it, it's still at its bones. It's like so much pulled from this movie. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And a phrase that I learned recently that I like to use a lot is lightning in a bottle. And Halloween was lightning in a bottle. But very good. Let's move on before we keep going and continue to talk about Halloween, because we could. But October 26, 2001, 13 Ghosts, a Matthew Lillard classic. 13 Ghosts, of course, is a remake of the original 13 Ghosts, which I think I like the remake a little better than the original. Such a good concept. The ghosts are cool, and Matthew Lillard's awesome, of course. It has an all-star cast for the 2000s.
I mean, it's a great movie. I think we've spoken on it several times. It's an underappreciated movie, right? I mean, not it's weird. It's some of these movies that to me are just so amazing that just don't get seem to get talked about enough for whatever reason. I don't know. You hear about, all time favorite movies and this and that, and I don't know. You never hear people ch anybody chime in a 13 Ghosts when you would think, that it would somebody would think so. It's peculiar. And
It is.
it's those and it seems a lot of it seems to fall on those 90s early 2000s movies that that's where a lot of it seems to fall, that people for whatever reason just don't have as much appreciation for those. And I think it's a shame.
It truly is. It is a true, true shame. But all right, moving on to October 29, 2004. Another one of my favorites, Saw. Saw is just one of those films I just cannot recommend enough, especially for people who have never seen the movie or don't know what happens. Has easily one of the strongest and most powerful plot twists of any movie I've ever seen. It's just such a good movie. And I mean, the series, obviously, it trails off at parts. But I mean, we got Saw X last year, I believe, and it was so good. And I think that, Saw's coming back strong. And I think it's high time that everyone jumps on the bandwagon and continues to give Saw the love it deserves, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we just a moment ago talked about how Halloween was a genre-defining film that kind of changed the course. Saw was another. It just we talked about just mentioned how a lot of the some of the 90s, early 2000s films don't get the appreciation that they maybe should or whatever. Saw was probably one of them that came along and changed that, right? There was the Scream movies through the 90s. That was like one of the exceptions. But Saul was one of them that really came along and kind of changed that a little bit, and it started people talking because it was different. It was unique. It did have that plot twist and caught you off guard and was just clever, and everything about it was just something. It just felt fresh and felt different. And it's to me, again, it's one of those movies that, it helped shape the course of horror. I really think that it defined a lot of what came through the 2000s with Saw, because you got a lot of movies, good, bad, and ugly that came after it that were spawning off of Saw and what they were doing, and a lot of copycat and mimicking and whatnot, and that's an influential, impactful movie. And so I think Saul fits that bill.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, we could talk about it all the time. You know what I mean? The movies that impacted generations of films. And like you said, every decade, I could name a handful of movies that truly impacted the genre. And Saw, like you said, is certainly one of them. So, but love it. Love it. Love it. And our last birthday for a movie, if you will, is October 30th, 1981, Halloween 2, Electric Boogaloo. I'm just kidding. Just Halloween 2, you know what I mean? And some people hate Halloween 2. Some people love Halloween 2. It's a very much a divisive film. Honestly, I compare Halloween 2 a lot to Halloween Ends, because either you love this movie or you hate it. I don't really see anybody in between, like on social media when they talk about this movie. And a lot of people hate it because they did the whole, oh, it's a sister gimmick, and a lot of people hated that. But if we didn't have that, we wouldn't get the Mark of Thorn, which, I mean, while it's not the best, I quite enjoy the Mark of Thorn, and that's my opinion. But I don't mind Halloween too. What about you, Dave?
No, I don't mind it. I do see some of the complaints, but I still enjoy it. I overlook some of that stuff. I'm like, whatever. But you also have to keep in mind, this movie was never intended to happen, right? I mean, John Carpenter never intended to make a sequel. Halloween was supposed to be a one and done. The success and the studios and whatnot kind of pushed the issue, and he had to do another and come up with something, and this is what it was. But I don't know. I enjoy it. I like it. Would I have done the sister thing? I don't know. Probably not. I don't know that it actually needed that, really. I think there was enough there just for the Michael chasing down the one that got away, and I think that was enough. I don't think it needed to be a sister. I just I, you know I think it was maybe just putting a hat on a hat. But I get trying to do something to get that shock value a little bit, and so it is what it is. But I don't hate it. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that is all for our news, birthdays, and anniversaries. So we have a couple of upcoming releases. First things first, we have Werewolves starring Frank Grillo comes to theaters on December the 6th. You can actually go on YouTube and watch our trailer reaction video on our channel. I referenced it earlier. You'll get me in a parking garage. Probably had some background noise, I'm sure. Yeah, it's great. I think the Werewolves movie looks a lot of fun, and I think it'll be a pretty solid December horror film for sure.
Yeah, and I will say this. We shared the actual we did our reaction, but then we actually shared the trailer. It's particularly on TikTok, that thing exploded for us. I mean, it has gotten just thousands and thousands of views, and pretty much everybody that is commenting or reacting is saying, oh yeah, this is what I've been looking for. This is something, this is a werewolf movie that looks fun. It's whatever. To me, the reaction's all been positive. But I just it's gonna I mean, the movie looks great. It looks fun to me. Practical effects, practical werewolves, solid cast, kind of a unique take on it. It's not your typical dude gets bit and doesn't know what's happening to him type of thing. This is different. And it's kind of it's it, to, again, when we did our reaction, we compared it to World War Z for various reasons. But one of the major to me is it takes a concept, in this case werewolves, and kind of brings it current and gives it a current coat of paint and makes it just fit a little better now, right? And it doesn't, from what I've seen so far, it seems like it's done a good job. I can't wait to see it. It just looks like it's going to be super, super fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just looked at the TikTok in your eye. We did some good numbers on
That's
that
right. I mean, people are just like crazy watching that thing. And I don't know. I don't know if there was a crowd out there waiting for this thing anyway. I don't know. Because it's not like I put a slew of hashtags on it even. So I don't, whatever.
The algorithm was in our favor that day.
That's right. The algorithm gods shined upon us, and I'll take it. But I'm glad people got to see it. I mean, there seemed to be, from the reactions and the comments, a lot of people who weren't aware it was out, the trailer was out, saw it through us first and foremost. That makes me happy. I'm glad that we provided that service that for the people that may not have known, because there was a lot of people that commented, oh yeah, I've been waiting for this movie. I heard about this movie. I'm glad to see a trailer. So that's cool to me that hey, I'm glad we put it out there for these people to see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Last little upcoming release, and it's weird that this is coming out this at this time, I guess, but The Exorcism starring Russell Crowe will premiere on Shudder on October 30th. This is a film that came out earlier this year. I do believe we reviewed it. Got lukewarm reviews from us. It's all right. But it's gonna be on Shudder if you want to check it out on October 30th.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something. When we reviewed it, we were kind of perplexed a little about the whole thing, right? It was like, okay, Russell Crowe doing another exorcism movie. It just, lots of things seemed kind of, I don't know. It's like, well, whatever. And it seems, no offense to anything, but it does seem peculiar to me that this is going to Shudder. I don't know. It just,
Right.
typically, it's I mean, you would think Russell Crowe maybe would get on a bigger platform, right? Maybe Shudder helped, had a hand in making this movie. I don't know, but whatever the case may be, I mean, the movie, was a fairly big release. I mean, I guess it got a lot of media attention or whatever with having Russell Crowe. So I'm happy that Shudder gets something like that. Yeah, it's one of those movies. It's like we reviewed it. I forgot completely about it. I guess I guess, I don't know. I would have assumed, I probably would have said, oh, it's probably out there on streaming already somewhere. But and maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it was on another. I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow Russell Crowe's exorcism movies that closely to know. But here it is, and good on Shudder for getting something like this, because I think this will be one that will probably get quite a bit of views for them. So good on them.
Yeah, I think so. I like you said, I think it'll do some good numbers for him, but we shall see. But all right. Well, that actually wraps it up for our news, etc. That is our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and upcoming releases. So when we come back, we will have our official review of the film Smile 2. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslpod. That is linktr.ee/rasslepod. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Smile 2. I have to say, Smile 2 was probably one of my more anticipated movies of the year. I really enjoyed the first one. I was looking forward to this one. I have to say, I wasn't sure what they would do to set it apart and make it, kind of feel different, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Spoiler free, of course. That's what we're going to try to do because it's still hot in the theaters. The movie was released October 18th in theaters and grossed $23,021,692 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number one on the box office charts. The movie was written and directed by Parker Finn, starring Naomi Scott, Rosemarie DeWitt, Peter Jacobson, and more.
You know what? I'm not gonna drone on about this too awful much because I don't have a lot of varied comments to say about this. This is what I'm gonna say. I loved the movie. I loved Smile 2. I will even go one step further and think, you know what? I think I like Smile 2 better than the first one. I think they took the concept of Smile 1. I think they shined it up. They focused it in a little better. And I think it worked better in this with the story of this one better than it did in the first one. I love the first one. I really did. But I just think, I don't know, it seemed so much. It was a long movie and maybe too long, but it didn't feel like as long as the movie was when you watched it. And Naomi Scott was absolutely extraordinary in this movie. She was spectacular. I absolutely just feel like, though, for whatever reason, because I guess maybe because this truly focused in primarily on one central character. And I don't know why. I haven't seen the first one in a while, but I just feel like the first one was a little all over a little more, right? Focused on more people. I don't know. It just felt, I'll say cluttered. I don't mean that necessarily a bad way. It just felt like there's much more going on than this one. This one just felt much more focused. Maybe because I think Naomi Scott was just so good that she's just really brought it home with me. I will say this movie has got one of the most absolutely insane starts of a movie that I've ever seen. It literally jumps in just days after the first one. And this movie, before the title scene, just like they get right to it and they don't mess around. And it's pretty cool. The movie, I don't know. I love the movie. I think everything about it, I think it was spooky. I think it was tense. The smile thing, the smile gimmick, the smile physically itself was no less creepy in this than it was in the first one. I would almost dare say that given some of the times that popped up in this movie, it was a little creepier even. I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like everything that I liked about the first one clicked even more in this one. It just really, really worked well for me in this one. I thought it was a super, super fun movie that just, I don't know. I felt like it just had you on the edge of the seat. You didn't know what was going to happen. Even when you maybe thought you knew what was going to happen towards the end, I don't know. I felt like they kind of swerved you a little. And it definitely, definitely, definitely is set up for another movie. And when you ponder the ending of this movie and what it can mean for a third, man, it could really get really super trippy for a third movie if you really break down the final scene in this movie and think about what happened, how these movies work, how this curse is passed, and everything else of what happened in that final scene and what that can mean moving forward. Yeah, all I gotta say is if they make a third one, there could be some heavy shit to start that movie if they pick up like this one did. So again, I love the movie. I thought it was great. I will say, sequels are rough. Sequels are hard. Man, I'm telling you, I really think that I enjoy Smile 2 more, even more than Smile 1. Because I just think they took the concept and perfected it in this. It's super, super good. Ike, what do you think?
Well, I will first start off by saying that I 100% agree with you. I think that Smile 2 is better than Smile 1. I think that Smile 2 really set a high bar as it pertains to the Smile franchise. And I feel like this movie just there's just something about it. It was just electric. It had the scare factor. It had all of the wonderful things that it picked up in the first film. And like you said, it sort of refined some of those items. And like you said, the film, it has sort of, and I like that films are doing this now, especially sequels where you sort of get this sort of, I guess, cold open in a way where you just get kind of thrown into it and you're just like, okay, let's do this. And it's always just so jarring. And this beginning of this film is extremely jarring. But it's so
It
good
is,
how they lay it out.
yeah. The opening was one of the most intense scenes of the entire movie. I mean, it really was. And it's I literally watched it and thought, fuck, what the hell's happened to the rest of the movie? And again, though, pacing wise, they knocked you on your ass, then they gave you a little time to catch your breath, which was wise. So this it was the pacing was great. Everything they did was, I don't know, it worked.
It really did. I think that this movie does a very good job with the pacing. You know, one of the biggest criticisms that people have for it online is how long the movie is. But honestly, it didn't feel that long to me personally.
Me
I
neither.
felt like it just rolled by, and I think it was 2 hours and 7 minutes is what IMDb is telling me. And like, I get it. You know, traditional horror format is 90 minutes or less. So anything over 2 hours is generally frowned upon. But I feel like this movie really used the time well. It really established the impact of the, I think they call it the grief demon,
Yeah.
is it really established the impact that the grief demon has on Skye Riley. I actually called the opening to this. I called it to some degree. I told Kayla, I was like, this is what I think is going to happen. I'm not going to say what I thought was going to happen because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But I called it like 75%, right? And it was a good thing. Even though it may have been predictable to me, I think that was how it needed to happen, and extremely well done. That being said, Smile 2 does a lot of great things. I can't think of anything particularly that this did not well, because like Naomi Scott killed it. First of all, I didn't know that she could sing. I apparently she was in a Disney movie called Lemonade Mouth, which my wife is now going to make me watch later today, probably. But it's like a musical type thing. But like I have the Smile 2 like EP like saved on my phone, because it has like all of the music that like Skye Riley quote unquote made. And yeah, I mean, like it's got a whole EP. There's like six songs that she made, and it's pop music. But honestly, some of that music is bangers, I'm telling you.
And well, not only can she sing, she helped write the songs. Yeah, so super talented. Absolutely, she is one of the reasons. The story itself was one reason. Her being in this one is one reason that I like this movie better, because she was perfect. She delivered this character so well, and all the depths associated with it. I'm not going to talk about it because there's lots of things going on with her character, and she took those and just delivered them so perfectly and made you believe it. And then when you add in this curse, this demon into that, coupled with what she already had going on, man, she made you feel. She was just perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think, like you said, what made this movie stand out so much. Don't get me wrong, Smile 1 was great. Sosie Bacon did a fantastic job. But I feel like Naomi Scott so sold the psychological impacts of the grief demon, right? Because in the first film, you know, you see these impacts of it makes you see things that aren't real. It makes you see things, it makes you do things, and you're kind of shocked by those actions. And Smile 2 steps that up tenfold and raises the stakes considerably for what the demon can do and the power that the demon holds. And I won't ruin it, but probably the latter half of the movie, after watching it, I had a very hard time discerning what was real and what was fake, right? What was actually happened, and what was the grief demon doing? You know what I mean? And I very not to say that I very rarely, I'm not some like high IQ, like, you know, whatever, but I very rarely feel that way after a horror movie. You know what I mean? Like Long Legs was like the last movie I could think of that really had that impact where I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened? But Smile 2 gave me that. I was like, whoa, what just happened? What was real? What wasn't real? What, who am I? You know what I mean? And like I said, 100% of that goes into, well, I guess most of that goes into the writing. But Naomi Scott, it is one of those times where you see this performance, and it's hard to say who else could pull off that kind of performance. You know what I mean? I would love to see Naomi Scott do other horror movies, because I think she could do a fantastic Final Girl and like a slasher movie. I mean, she could do whatever she wants, but I think she'd be fantastic in horror because she played Skye Riley so freaking good.
Yeah, and it's again, yeah, it's one of those movies where you watch, you get to a point where you think you finally got a grasp, okay, what they're doing, what's happening here, where it's going a little bit. And then there was one pivotal scene in the car where it happens and you're like, oh shit, everything I thought is just wrong. It's all wrong. I was totally off, totally wrong. They're going a different way with this. I have no clue now. And it just blew my mind. And then it's like everything from there on out. And again, where the movie ended blew my mind as well. Because not only was it a very cool, impactful scene, but when I think about, okay, if they make a third one, where that can go, right? Like how this movie picked up virtually where the first one ended, just a matter of days. If they do something like that with a third, it's pretty wild of what they can do in the third movie. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, this it blew my mind. And again, like I said, the movie was well written, well delivered, but she was probably one of the top reasons that it just worked so well. So
Absolutely. And also I don't know if you've seen it, but weirdly enough, Naomi Scott's been fan casted by a lot of people as like Wonder Woman.
yeah.
She's not very tall because Wonder Woman is like a is an Amazon, but
Well,
just a fun little fact. I've seen her online being fan casted.
Gal Gadot wasn't very tall either. She's not very tall either.
True. They need someone really tall to play her. But I mean, I was just pointing that out just because I love like DC and Justice League and stuff like that. So I thought that was always curious when you see fan castings for the new DC universe, her name has come up a bunch. I hear from fans. So our love of Naomi Scott is shared by many, I feel.
There you go. Yeah, so okay, again, I don't want to talk too much more on it because I'm afraid if I the more I ramble, I'm gonna let
The
something
more you're
slip.
gonna
And
let slip, yeah.
yeah, and I don't want to do that. We try to be very particular, but this is a movie that I really feel just needs to be seen. It needs to be seen without knowing too much about it. You get the concept, you get the overview, and it's one of those movies that's just fun to go along for the ride. But it is well worth it. This is a movie that if you've not seen it, I don't wait for streaming, man. Don't wait for video on demand. Don't wait for any of that. Just you need to go see it in the theater, because it's that good. And it just works. It clicks. So let's rate this thing. Again, I'm, great movie. Not gonna say it, I mean, I'm not gonna say it broke a lot of ground because it's the same concept. Concept-wise, conceptually, it just carries on from the first movie, right? It doesn't build a whole lot conceptually on that per se. I mean, a little bit, but it sticks true to it. It just perfects it. But it was such a great movie. It clicked on all things. Worked so well. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 screams. So what are you going to give it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I feel like this movie really expanded upon and polished that smile, that lore, some of that, information that we got in the first one, really just polished it and made it so much better. Like you said, 4 out of 5 for me as well. I feel like this movie is very well deserving. I don't remember what we gave Smile, but I hope that this is a better score than the other one. But in any case, it was very good movie. 100% would recommend you go see it. And like Dave said, go watch in theaters. This is not one that you want to wait to see on streaming because I do feel like the theater adds sort of a thematic element not only to her music but also a lot of the events that happen in this movie.
Yeah, and as we sit here, right, as we are in the fourth quarter, on the cusp of November, just a couple of months out from the end of the year, I cannot anticipate this movie is not going to have a strong contention for being in our top five of the year. I don't know what else coming out these last couple of months. Some of the bigger releases I think are already out there. I mean, I know there could be something else. There could be some sleeper. I don't have any doubt that when we go to put our top five for 2024, this movie is at least going to be in contention, at least going to be in the discussion. If it doesn't make the top five, I cannot imagine that we don't give it at least an honorable mention, because it's just that damn good. I've got to say, so far of the year, I think, off the top of my head, because I'm not, unless I'm forgetting something, outside of Terrifier 3, I don't know that there's been a movie I've enjoyed as much as this. Again, maybe I don't remember the earlier in the year. I know, I don't know, but this movie just was great. It was so good. Just a perfect view, especially for this time of year. It just works. So well done with Smile 2. Again, sequels are always, there's some trepidation with sequels. You don't know what's going to happen, and boy, they killed it. And it's got me already excited for Smile 3, which, I just I have faith in them that it's going to be great. So well done indeed. So next episode, when it is released, it will be released actually on Halloween. So that will be our third annual Halloween special episode, and we have got discussions and ideas of brewing on what we're going to do. I don't foresee us probably doing a movie review per se in that episode. I don't think there's anything new release that's really popping out for that anyway. So we'll just probably have some Halloween festivities. The wives might pay a visit. We may do some trivia. Who knows what we're going to do yet? Like I said, things are very fluid in discussion, but there will be a special episode for Halloween because we do that every year. Just unfortunately, this year it's not a bonus episode like it typically is because, well, it just falls on our regular release day. So you just get this one. So that's the way it is. But everybody, as it leads into Halloween, everybody have a good Halloween. Have a good Halloween season. Take some time, spend with your family, have some fun, watch some movies, carve some pumpkins, bake some goodies, eat some candy, take the little ones trick or treating when the time comes, and be safe. Just remember that, it's a holiday, it's fun, and remember to catch your breath and spend some time with those you like to spend time with, and just have a good time. However you choose to do that, whatever, however you like to celebrate, just make sure you do. We celebrate Halloween and Spooktober year round, but we know that not everybody's just as cuckoo as we are. So,
True.
but however you like to celebrate, and I'm not saying, hey, there's things we do in this time period that we don't do year round. Clearly, we do lots of things, but I'm looking forward to coming to this next week. So, however you choose to celebrate, have a good time, be safe, and enjoy yourself. Until then, thank you to all of our wives. I say all of our wives. Thank you to our wives. I don't guess we have all the wives. And I say that as Monica walks into the room and she gave me a shitty ass look, like I've got other wives or something. Thank you to our wives and all of our listeners and followers. Thank you for all your support and your interactions, your likes, your downloads, your whatever, everything you do to support us. Thank you very much. So until next episode, Ike, anything you want to throw in before we wrap this one up?
I forgot to say it earlier, but follow us on social media. I always say that
Oh,
right
yeah, that's
before we
right.
jump into the review, but follow us on social media if you haven't. It's the best way to support us and to continue to get some all these updates and all the news segments and everything else in real time. It's cool to hear it on the podcast, but it's even cooler to be there before we talk about it. So
That's right.
make sure you guys do that. And but yeah, other than that, I think that's all I got to say.
All right. Well, again, we will speak to you next on Halloween. But as we know, there'll be some things happening till there. Everybody have a good Halloween, and we will talk to you on that day. But until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.